my heart like you do. I could search the world eternity, Lord, and find there is not like you. And Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing that I desire compares to you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing that I desire compares to you. And nothing that I desire compares to you. Praise the Lord. Y'all may be seated. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. He is worthy to be praised. But you know, all is praise and worship, God wants all of us to receive it. And if we haven't, he's going to tell us why this morning. You know, this world that we're living in, so much is going on. It's even now we can't afford gas in our automobiles anymore. We go shopping in the stores are empty. People are still trying to find their way back to work. We are being attacked on every hand. This is on top of the normal things of health and other things that are going on in our life. I have another common story this week, a story that you probably all haven't heard and know about. And it's the story of two men, which is my title. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 24, it says, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet, it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And verse 27, the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Let me explain one thing before I get into it. It's going to take me a minute. I'm not going to be long. I know we have something else going on. Don't worry. I'm going to take my time, baby. That's sweet. He is sweet, I know. God created Adam first. And it was that Adam was supposed to be the foundation of the family, which was to be the foundation of the culture. That is, Adam's responsibility to set the stage for where everything else was to be built on. He was to be the foundation. Which is why God raised the question, Adam, where are you? because the foundation had moved. And now everything else was in chaos. And so when I talk today about the foundation, focusing on the man, but not limiting it to the men. Because Jesus says in the scriptures that I read in Matthew 7:24, applies to everyone. But even though it applies to everyone, he focused on these two men. So the question I want to ask you men, by the time we're finished, which man will you be? By the time I finish, everybody, every person, we're going to find out which foundation you built your house on. Amen. These two men had some things they had in common. They had things in common. Let me go through some of these things. There are two men. They had a contrast. They were in common, so also they had contrast, made them very different. And this leads to the conclusion about these two men that is riveting its effect, but transforming in its ability to change our lives. So let me start off with what made these two men alike. What made these two men seem to be on the same page? Well, the first thing was that was compatible to both of these men, they shared the same dream. They both wanted to build a house. They both wanted to build a house. In the Bible, a house can be referred to as one of four things. A house can be referred to your life, as it is referred to here. Both men wanted to build a house. That is, to build a life of substance, significance, value that mattered. They wanted to accomplish something with their lives. How many in here want to accomplish something with your life? Amen. Or, building a house in the Bible can refer to building a family. Families throughout the Bible are called the house of somebody. Remember the house of David? That means that it was David's family. Or to build a house in the Bible can refer to building a ministry. The temple in the Old Testament was called the house of God. In the New Testament, the church is called the household of faith. Or to build a house can refer to the Bible in the Bible as building a society. After all, Israel was called the House of Israel. We call it the White House or the House of Congress. So to build a house is to build a community or a society that holds that unification that we're supposed to have. It's supposed to unify the culture. It is benefiting all citizens, supposedly. All that is built, it's a house. And both men wanted to build a house. They wanted a life of significance. They wanted a family that was strong. They wanted a ministry that was effective. And they wanted a life in the culture that was covered, which would cover ordered society. That is to build a house. Every man here, every person here, every Christian here should want to build a house. So the first thing that these two men had in common was they wanted to fulfill the dream of building a house. The second thing that made these two men alike was they both went to the same church. Now we know they both went to the same church because it says both men heard my words, the word of Jesus. So they were going to an evangelical church. And Orthodox congregation because they were seated in their seats and they had their Bibles open. They're listening to Jesus Christ preach. So they were at least oriented in the Word of God because they both were listening to these words of mine. They were the words of Jesus. So the first thing is that they both had a dream. The second thing is that they both were orthodox in their orientation because they were willing to hear the Word of God. Are you all willing to hear the Word of God this morning? We can tell. By the time I get through with this, I can tell by the effect of God's Word had on your life. The second thing, they were willing to hear the Word of God. The third thing is, between the two men, it was a commonality between the two men. They lived in the same neighborhood. Now, the reason I know they lived in the same neighborhood because they were affected by the same storm. It says the storm came, hit both of their homes. So that meant they were in the same proximity to one another during the storm. A storm in the Bible is an adverse set of circumstances. When the Bible talks about a storm, it's talking about a negative event entering to your life. So here are our two men. They both have a mission. They both wanted to build a house. They both had some struggles in the storm. They're listening to these same words. They listen to the same words of God, Jesus Christ. And they both have some struggles. You're here, so you're listening to the Word of God. I hope you have a dream of a better life, a better future in all your four of these categories. But there are also folks here in a storm, or just come out of a storm, or when you leave here today, you're going to run into the storm, because in this life, some rain must fall. But there's where the comparison of these two men comes to begin to differ. See, there were some differences between these two men spelled out. Because in verse 24, which I read earlier, it says, one man was a wise man. Then verse 26 says, the other man was a fool. One man was a wise man, the other was a fool. So that tells me a whole lot right there. That means that a wise man can have a dream. A fool also can have a dream. A wise man can sit and listen to Jesus Christ. A fool can also sit and listen to Jesus. A wise man can be in a storm, and a fool can be in a storm. Because while there were a lot of alike, there was a fundamental difference between the two. One wise man and the other was a fool. One made the difference, their foundation. That was the difference, their foundation. It says in verse 24, the wise man built his house on a rock. It says in verse 26, a foolish man built his house on sand. It's talking about what they built their house on. That has to do with your foundation. I used to work for a company back in, I think I started working for them in 1998. It seems like yesterday. Don't be counting the years. And this company, I was an inspector. I went out to inspect foundations, roofs on different jobs. And I went downtown, had a call. I was sent downtown to inspect the foundation. What I noticed was this deep hole. They carted it off and everything. And it was a building that I was inspecting. I think at that time, VCU was building a building. And I wasn't sure if they were building a building with floors going in the ground or going up. Because in order to support what they were building, they had to dig deep. I learned a lot about foundational stuff. See, your foundation is whatever you put your structure on, and it's always where you start. Because you put a foundation first. You don't put up the walls, the doors, the windows, and all that, and the drywall first. You don't put up the roofers first. You pour the foundation first. And you said, why? I'm going to answer that, Miss Lottie. Because everything else is banking on its stability. The ability of everything else to hold steady is tied to solidifying on that strong foundation. One person was a wise man, built on a rock, built his house on a rock, on sand. Let's talk about those two differences, those two different foundations for a moment. If you build on sand, that's going to be quick. It's going to be fast. You don't take a lot of time to put sand down and put a castle, build a sand castle together on a beach. If you build on rock, it's going to take you some time. If you build on sand, it's going to be easy. If you build on rock, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a little harder. You got to drill first. You got to prepare that rock first. And it takes work. It takes time. It's not a quick job. It's a hard job. If you build on sand, it's going to be real cheap. Don't cost much to put sand together. Oh, but it's going to cost you something if you build on rock. You see, one man was willing to put forth and take the time, put forth the effort to take the time to get that foundation set, poured, and strong. Because he knew what he had to build on it. He knew what that foundation had to support. The other man was not willing to take what was necessary for his foundation to be strong. But he still wanted a house. This issue of the foundation is critical. When we first moved in our house, this was in 73. Don't y'all count no more years now. I told you about that earlier. 1973. I had a push mower, and I had rakes and things, little small stuff, because I had to cut my own yard. And I bought a shed. Oh, man, that shed, I had to put it together. And I thought it was heavy enough. I put it together and everything. And behind my house, the land slopes a little bit down a hill. And I set that shed down. Oh, man, I was so happy. I went in there to open the shed, put my mower out. But one day, a storm came. And it was very windy. I just happened to look out the back door. And my shed was in the air. It looked like the Wizard of Oz. I didn't put it on a well enough foundation. See, when you go downtown, anywhere you look, you see a skyscraper being built. They block everything off, build a skyscraper. But if you were to look at it and look at before they put the structure up, I mean, depending on how tall that building's supposed to be, That foundation is going deep. See, you cannot build a skyscraper on a foundation of a chicken coop. Because the chicken coop can't handle a skyscraper. In other words, your foundation must be worthy of the building you plan to, whatever you plan to put on top of it. You can't have a big building on a small foundation. See, a lot of folk, don't mean that I'm talking to y'all here. When I say a lot of folk, y'all are equal to the other lot of folks I'm talking about. A lot of folk want God to do big things on their chicken coop foundation. Your foundation must be worthy of the foundation, that you want to put stuff on. Your foundation must be worthy of the building, the life that you want to arise from the ground, from it. So one man built his house on sand. The other man built his house on rock. So what is the difference between the two men? I'm still looking for a difference. Because I can't tell yet. See, y'all know the end of the story, but you can't tell the wise man from the fool yet. What was the difference in these two men? What do you mean, rock versus sand? Both men heard the words of Jesus. But there was a difference. It says the wise men, verse 24, heard the words of Jesus Christ, and he did what? He acted on them. It says the fool heard these words of Jesus Christ and did not act on them. If you want to build a life, if you want to build a home, if you want to build a ministry or a society, a house, it must be resting on the right foundation, and the foundation is not merely information. The difference between the wise man and the foolish man was not how much education they had. It had nothing to do with whether they were a high school graduate or got a BA, MA, or PhD. It has nothing to do with how much education you possess. All of us, or some of us, know educated fools. Education does not wisdom necessarily grant you anything. The difference between a wise man and a fool was their willingness or unwillingness to act on what Jesus Christ has taught. Or to put it another way, only when the word is applied does the word work. The word, God's word, does not work just because you hear it preached. God's word does not work just because you got excited about it. God's word does not work just because you heard it. God's word doesn't work just because you said amen to whatever was said. God's word does not work because you wave your hands in the air like you just don't care. God's word does not work just because you agree with it. God's word is only activated to work when applied. It is not applied. If it's not complied, it's still God's word. It's still alive, but you won't experience what it can do until you act on it. They were listening, they both were listening to God's word. Both of them. But only one did something with what he heard. Therefore, only one experienced what was needed to be experienced based on what was taught. So one man is called wise, and the other man is called fool. I said foolish, but foolish, what's the difference? let me define the two. Wisdom in the Bible is the ability and responsibility of applying God's truth to life realities. It is responsibility tied to the ability to apply spiritual truth to life decisions. The fool in the Bible took, like the book of Proverbs, distinguishes between a wise man and a fool. Matter of fact, the whole book of Proverbs talks about this. The fool in the Bible is a person who has the inability or refusal to apply spiritual truth to life decision making. So you can only know you're wise or if you're a fool by the decision that you make, by the action that you take, not by the information that you quote. So quoting the Bible, a lot of us can quote the Bible. So quoting the Bible, rehearsing the Bible, saying biblical things, speaking Christianese, all that means absolutely nothing. Unless there was the decision to take the spiritual truth and do something with it. This living scenario that things is happening, things that you're putting on of it. Wisdom in the Bible is always practical because it's always tied to life choices. You know, we talk about wisdom all the time. But we talk about it in the light of the wisdom that we obtain from God's word, which gives us the wisdom, supposedly give us the wisdom to make the right decision based on God's word. When you choose God by action, not simply by talking, then you have activated divine programming from the word into your life situation. Now, sounds good, doesn't it? Now, what a lot of Christians try to do, they try to mix rock with sand. See, what they want is, they know what they need, and they know that God has what they need. But what they have their own way of doing is the sand, their own thing. The sand. So what they want is sand and rock. They want to mix two things, okay? They want the fundamental differences between rock and sand. Sand is human wisdom. It's man's point of view. The way you want to do something, the way your parents taught you to do something, the way you ought to do something, the way your friends say you ought to do something, the way that the media says you ought to do something, that's sand. You don't build your house on that. You can't build God's word on your foundation on that. Rock is God's point of view. And we act on it. Well, with a lot of Christians, though, they know what rock and what they need comes from that rock foundation, but they use sand and try to mix them together. So let me help you with the sandy rock mixture. Matthew 15, you don't have to go there, I'll tell you where it's found. Matthew 15 and 6 says, you do notify the word of God with your traditions. So once you bring man's point of view into it and attach it to God's point of view, when it contradicts with God's point of view, Matthew 15:6 says, you cancel God out. You cancel him out. So a lot of us, I'm talking in general now, don't look at me like that, Levante. I'll dig to you later. So a lot of us actually cancel out the very thing we're wanting God from, by bringing a foreign point of view into the equation. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Y'all agree with that now? Y'all know it's in the Bible. So when God says A and you think B, God said, don't you bring that B over to my A. God says, let me be true. And every man, including you, including me, be a liar. So I'm not left out of this equation. So when you disagree with God, you need to have a conversation with you. You need to come to you and tell yourself. Tell yourself, hey, self, you're lying to me right now. Because God says, this is self. And self is saying that God says, let God be true. And self, and you telling me, you're talking to me, and God says, you're a liar. When you contradict God. And self will do that. How many times have God you in a situation and God said comes to you and gives you one thing and you say, maybe it's not taking this long. God, it shouldn't take this long. So maybe I got to think of something else to do along with your word. And you try to rush God along by using wisdom, your wisdom. God says, it won't happen. Not today. Tomorrow either. God says, self is saying that God says, let God be true. And self and everybody else is a liar. Amen. When they contradict God. Amen. When you want sand to rock, what are you doing? You're being double-minded. James said, chapter 1, verse 5, let the double-minded man know he will receive nothing from the Lord. So if you're trying to bring human wisdom and attach it to divine revelation, what you need to know is God says, don't think you're going to get anything. Once you marry the two with a double-minded, with a double mind, God cancels the whole thing. So maybe some of us are canceling out our prayers. We're praying for one thing, bringing human wisdom into it, which cancels the whole prayer. He says, you cannot have both. Here's the conclusion. Everybody start clapping. Hey, about to finish. I'm just trying to get you to pay a little bit more attention. I know y'all just not sleeping out there. You're just blinking a long time. But these two men, maybe you never looked at it like this before, but these men, it's going to change our life if we change to the right man. Here's the conclusion. I did not become a parent who the fool was, who the wise man was. I didn't know who was which until the storm came. See, as long as the day was sunny outside, both houses looked good. Both men were great. They were so happy they looked over to what they built. The rich man, the poor man, oh man, it was beautiful. Both families were intact. Both ministries appeared to be solid. The nation seemed to be on track until a storm came. It was a storm that revealed what the real deal was. Let's look at this storm. It says that the rain came. The flood came. See, the rain was coming down. The flood, I mean, the water was coming up. The wind blew. So whenever you have rain coming down, flood waters coming up, the wind blowing hard and strong, it can knock over a house. You know what that's called? That's called a hurricane. This wasn't just, it was a hurricane. It was hurricane season. It's not some minor trial when it comes to when everything, I'm not going to use that expression, but all stuff break loose in your life. That's a hurricane. It seems stuff break loose at the same time. I know I experienced that before. I can't tell you nothing, and the fact is true about God's word unless I experience it myself. Your emotions are all out, and you don't know what to do. The doctor gave you a bad report, financed the bank, foreclosed on stuff. You had to turn your automobile back in. All of this happening at the same time. It's not rain. It's not a rain shower. It's a hurricane. And in your life, you're going to run into hurricane season. Hurricane season is not some minor trial. It's when it all breaks loose and break loose in your life at the same time. It has shut you down. It's when everything could go wrong goes wrong. It's the bad prognosis from the doctor. It's the something that devastates you or overwhelms you. It's hurricane season. And if you are alive, you're going to run into hurricane season. Or season is going to run into you. He says, when the rain came, the floods came, and the winds blew, the wise man's house stood strong. It didn't fall. But the fool's house didn't stand a chance. The houses, they look good. They look wonderful outside. But the storm always reveals what you're resting on. The same with our life today, saints. If you're not standing strong, your foundation is not built on that solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. See, you can fix the foundation and pull a foundation before the storm. You can repair the foundation after the storm. But what you can't do is fix the storm during the storm. I'm not going to say that. Well, I will. See, a lot of folk want God in the storm. You know, they wait till it get all on top of them. And they didn't pour a foundation before the storm. So they were wondering why they're falling apart. Because the idea is you pour the foundation first. In other words, you set this thing in motion first. Whole lot of this, I'm just skipping. I'm finding my way through the storm. He is waiting for men to pour the foundation on which everything else can stand. But when he is waiting on all believers to apply God's truth to their lives, he's waiting for us, whether they are male or female. You see, God intervened, so don't get me wrong. I'm not going to suggest to following God, that means you're going to avoid the storm. Actually, you start following Christ, that's when you're going to experience some storms. I'm saying when the word of God is applied without being mixed with human wisdom that contradicts the authoritative word, you have now engaged in the programming in his word to work. And you will watch him even in the midst of a storm. The wise man still had the hurricane. He didn't avoid the hurricane. He just withstood the hurricane. He didn't succumb to it because he was resting on the right foundation. Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you for the members here. They heard your word, and now they experience your word. They shouted hallelujah to your word. But Father, I thank you that they're standing on your word. They're acting on your word. Even after this storm blows over, Father, I thank you. Those that haven't, I thank you for their preparation. They have a mind to get into your word that's going to bring them up. When you put all these things that life is throwing at us, Lord, we have come to a point now that we are strong in your word. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how the wind blows. I don't care if the flood takes away my physical stuff. But Father, I thank you that I'm standing strong. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.